just to confirm, you are okay with me recording all of this, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. So today is November 16th, 2023. I am Abigail Jacoby. This is a short little interview in relation to the class that I'm taking called History of Environmental Inequalities with Dr. Adam Sundberg. Would you be able to go ahead and introduce yourself and tell me what you do?
My name is Judith Hill, J-U-D-I-T-H, last name H-I-L-L, and I'm the executive director with North Omaha Collective.
Very nice. Thank you. So it says that the vision for the North Omaha Collective is to create long-lasting change in and beyond the North Omaha community for African-American children and families. So can you talk about some of the work that you do here and what that means for this community?
We've just started. We're a brand new organization. We were just we just received our nonprofit and debt designation less than a year ago. So what our plan is to introduce to the community the concept of healing-centered engagement. Healing-centered engagement is a process that we will use to focus with youth-serving organizations, but also other groups, families, moms, dads, small groups, churches, healthcare organizations, anywhere where people are gathered and their desire and their goal is to make change with the individuals or the communities that, that they are serving. Mm-hmm. And healing-centered engagement is a way of encouraging those service providers to go through the process of evaluating themselves interpersonally, their interpersonal relationships, as well as their organizational, institutional processes and procedures and norms, to make certain that as we come and we begin to move forward our goals of bringing healing into the lives of the individuals that we work with, that we ourselves are prepared to do that. So it requires us to really spend some time focusing on what we call the karma principles. The karma principles being C for culture. What is our culture? What is the culture of our families? What is the cultures of our race, our influence group? What is the culture of our community? How do we understand that? What role do we play in that? Because that all has an impact on how we interact with others. Right. It has an impact on how we engage with youth. It has an impact on the information that we share with them and the healing process that we take them through. The other one is agency. What? How do we view our ability to impact the world that we live in? How do we view it? What has been our experience? What is it and what would we like to see it be? Karma. The R is for relationships. It's about taking the time to be able to understand first ourselves and then to understand how we engage, how we communicate, how we show up in rooms. How do we build relationships? What are the social toxins? What impact does the social toxins of the world that we've been raised in, our own karma, I mean, our own trauma, how does that all play itself into how we build relationships? Because all of that's going to have an impact on how we function individually, how we function as a team, how we function within our organization, and how we impact the lives of the individuals that we're working through. The other principle is meaning. What does meaning have? What is our meaning? What is our purpose? What are our life's dreams and our goals? What is it that we want to do? How do we approach this world that, that we exist in? And then the last one, A, is for aspirations. What are our goals? What are our dreams? What are we doing to make those things become a reality? All of that has an impact on how we present ourselves in the work that we do. It sounds very lofty, very heady, but the reality is that when you embrace those principles and really start to focus and really do the hard work that involves each one of those concepts, it improves the way that we're able to work together. In our community, we are a community full of resources. Are we always able to engage in a way that best benefits our community, our organizations, as well as the individuals that we serve.
Mm-hmm.
I think in almost any community, the answer would be no, we can always do better.
Right.
You know, even within, I'd say, a religious institution, mm-hmm. there's these dynamics. One faction wants to go one way. Another faction believes another way. One faction is impacted by one culture. A new group comes in and they have a different culture.
Right.
How are you able to bridge all of that together so that that institution, that commission that you have to serve the community, that you're actually able to do it effectively?
Mm-hmm.
And when we're not able to do that, what we tend to do is we tend to close into ourselves. We become become encapsulated in whatever it is, little cocoon that mm-hmm. we're in, and it becomes extremely difficult for us to be able to reach out
mm-hmm.
and to be able to link and to join and to be able to really honestly work collectively with other organizations or other institutions.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult sometimes to be open and to have a willingness to accept the ideas, processes that someone else may have, because the process that they've gone through to get there
mm-hmm.
is very different than yours. And
right.
we've not learned how to be able to bridge those simple gaps in
mm-hmm.
order to be able to strengthen ourselves as a community.
Mm-hmm.
There's four other principles that Healing-Centered Engagement teaches. They're called the four pivots. And pivot is a basketball term. And in basketball, when you pivot, the one thing that is required is that you keep one foot planted solid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to be able to keep one foot firmly planted. And then what the pivot, being able to move with your other foot, allows you to do is it allows you to come up with creative ways in order to be able to reach your goal. And the goal is to get to the basket,
mm-hmm.
to get your three-point shot, your two-point shot, whatever
right.
it is. So we're teaching that with communities to say that in order for us to collaborate together better, you don't have to change your mission.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to stop doing the work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
The work that you're doing is vital. But are you willing to pivot? And all pivot simply means is it's a small adjustment. Are you willing to adjust and to consider going from lens to mirror? We are taught to evaluate, to assess, and to look. What we're going to do today is we're going to assess the lead and how it's impacted this
mm-hmm.
Community. The first pivot, which says move from lens to mirror, says as much time and as much importance as I place on looking out and evaluating
mm-hmm.
and assessing, I must also make the time to do that inwardly.
Right.
So it's not just what has led, how has led affected your community?
Mm-hmm.
Judith, what have you done?
Right.
How have you engaged
mm-hmm.
in this issue that has had impacts on your community, on children, on health? Because it's easy to me to go, they should have done this, and they should have done this, and this is a shame, and that's a shame. And all of those things are true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the statistics say that more Black children are being impacted this way. All true.
Mm-hmm.
But then, to me, to come to the table fully ready to participate, I must also take a look at myself. The other pivot is moving from transactional to transformational.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we're going to have a transactional conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a class. I'm doing a study. I need to do some interviewing. Will you participate? Sure, I'll participate. Most definitely. The transaction may be, well, hey, once your study is done, would you give me a copy?
Absolutely.
It's reciprocal.
Mm-hmm.
In order to really be able to make that pivot and to change the way that we interact individually, interpersonally, organizationally, institutionally, we have to be willing to be vulnerable. We have to be willing to invest and engage time in getting to know where we are and the individuals that we're in the room with.
Mm-hmm.
What it allows us to do, you know, can you imagine having a meeting? Let's say that your group that you're working with on this research project, and you all said, we're going to get together, but for the first meeting, we're not going to talk about the research project. We're going to go out, we're going to, you know, have a beer, have some nachos, or whatever it is that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just talk about each other. Tell me about your experience. Who are you? Where'd you come from?
Mm-hmm.
What's your, why? Because what in your conversation, what I may realize is that when you're under pressure, you tend to shut down. So when I get angry because you haven't called me, it's because you're under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it doesn't change the fact I want you to call me, but I understand it. You may have something else. Oh, I get why you're so, you know, some might say anal. You just have to have everything go a certain way. Mm-hmm. As you begin to talk to me and explain to me who you are, mm-hmm. I have an understanding. So now as we come back together and work, we're more than just four people who are working on a project together in a transactional relationship. We've now created a transformational relationship where we can now move and interact with each other. Hey, you may not make your calls, but you'll do the typing. You know what? Mm-hmm. We're willing to adjust to that because we know that that's, it changes the way that you work together. And even when you disagree, it's not a disagreeable situation. Mm-hmm. The other thing is we talk about moving from, I'm trying to think, yeah, da, 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 da. The other one is, two of them, I just can't remember. From problem to possibility. Most of what we do is we focus on problems, not a bad thing. Our community has lots of problems that we need to focus on. Mm-hmm. But what healing-centered engagement teaches us is to also be willing to consider the possibilities. Our young people have these issues. Our young people have those issues. It's a problem. But let's do some possibility thinking. Mm-hmm. What if it was our goal that every young person in out-of-home placement would be able to get a four-year college degree? What if we started there and worked our way this way rather than here and moving up? Because there's a debilitating process that happens to you when all of your time is spent focusing on the problem. Mm-hmm. You kind of lose the ability to dream, mm-hmm. to really be able to see things from a different perspective. And we have to be able to dream. To really be able to grow and to move forward, we have to be able to dream. We've mm-hmm. talked about lead for years. What's the possibility? Mm-hmm. What can we do now? What is the dream that we can have that makes certain that we never come back this way again?
Right.
How do we begin to have those conversations mm-hmm. and to begin to incorporate that into the work that we're doing? And then last but not least, we talk about hustle to flow. This is a capitalistic society, and the reality is the harder you work, the more you do, the more hats that you wear, the more successful that you appear to be. Mm-hmm. But that means that you don't always show up in places your best self. We're oftentimes tired, overworked, you know, overcommitted. And so when we show up, we don't bring 100% of ourselves. So hustle to flow says that we've got to make the time. Literally, we have to create the time in this capitalistic society to say, I'm going to step back. I'm going to get some rest. I'm going to take a siesta. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, because you can't do the vision that lends to mirror work. It's impossible to get out of that problem and move to possibility. It's hard to move from transactional, because it's quick, to transformational when you don't have the time. Mm-hmm. And so that last pivot says to move from hustle to flow. So again, it's just teaching us to look at what we do a different way. Mm-hmm. And it's not some big program that you're going to, because we're used to that. We're used to programs. It's difficult sometimes for us to embrace concepts, right. Because concepts require us to think and to look at things from a different perspective and to challenge the way that we move and the way that we think. But it's mm-hmm. in our willingness to do that that I believe a lot of those other issues that we deal with from year to year and century to century they begin to go away. So it's really about training a community of advocates and mentors mm-hmm. and helpers to look at the work that they do a different way.
Mm-hmm. That's all really, really fantastic. Thank We're going to circle back to that. Okay. Absolutely. Can you tell me about the first time that you learned about lead in Omaha, to bring us specifically to that?
The first time, no, I can't tell you. It's been years ago. Mm-hmm. I mean, the lead conversation has been going on. I worked for Charles Drew Health Center for 25 years in a number of capacities. Mm-hmm. Was it before Charles Drew? I don't know. It's been a long time. Mm-hmm. And to pinpoint exactly when, I would say it would probably have been somewhere during the last 30 years.
Okay.
Not sure when and where and how.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that the rest of the North Omaha community feels that way? Is it a part of the conversation?
It has been. One of the things that happens, and I won't just say in our community, one of the things that just happens in our culture, in our mm-hmm. society, I say that we have that we have, there's another term that I would use, but for right now, I'll just say we have issues of the moment. Mm-hmm. There are things that happen. Lead, there was a time that it was a big conversation in our community. Mm-hmm. It came, it went. There was a time that HIV/AIDS mm-hmm. was a big conversation in our community. You don't right. even talk about it anymore. There was a time when STDs was a big topic in our conversation mm-hmm. in our community. We don't talk about it anymore. COVID, we don't talk about it anymore.
Right.
So the reality is that that's kind of how it goes. It cycles in. Now, if something happens, if we tore down, you know, a 15-block radius, and it was all, you know, and we found lead in the soil, and then we went around and we tested, you know, everybody within a 20-block radius of that area, and they mm-hmm. all tested on some level positive, then it would become an issue again.
Right.
But until then, it's a conversation whose time has passed.
Okay, that makes sense. You mentioned to me earlier that your own home was remediated mm-hmm. because of lead. Can you talk about that process and what your emotions were going through that?
They came through and said, you know, we were doing lead remediation in yards. They would dig up the dirt, they would dig up the soil, they would dig up a portion of the grass, they would come back and they would lay down new grass. So a lady came and really mine was done at the tail end mm-hmm. and this has been a number of years ago, but mine was done at the tail end of them going around the community doing it. I was surprised that they were still doing it. I didn't even think that I was eligible. Mm-hmm. And so somebody came in and said, we tested. It wasn't in my front yard. It was out in my backyard and extended over a little bit into a neighbor's backyard. And I'll just be very honest with you. I'm just very transparent. It was like, mm-hmm. yeah, I could use some new grass back there in the back. Go ahead and dig it up.
Right.
Most of it back there is weeds. Mm-hmm. So you go lay down brand new grass and mm-hmm. you'll water it. And you gave me a vacuum cleaner mm-hmm. that was supposed to, you know, had some special purpose in terms of vacuuming mm-hmm. out my window sills and all of that. I live in a home that was built in the late 1890s, almost the 1900s. Mm-hmm. So my house is over 100 years old. In this area, the World's Fair came into this North Omaha area, mm-hmm. and as you can imagine, they tear up a lot of land, bring all of their fixtures in. When they leave, they tear it all up, and it just leaves a lot of empty land. UP mm-hmm. bought a lot of the land, right. and then built homes, mm-hmm. and so I live in the home that I think I am the fourth owner.
Okay.
In that home. So there's probably have lead in it, sure. But to be totally honest with you, I just saw it as the advantage of them coming out, you know, doing my yard. Mm-hmm. And because my attitude was, you know, whatever damage has been done, it almost feels like a Johnny come lately. Now mm-hmm. you want to come. You guys have known this for a long time. But
right.
from free grass and a vacuum cleaner, thank you.
Right. Okay, would you say that your work with the North Omaha Collective has been influenced by that experience at all, or by the conversation of lead?
It has been influenced by it is being influenced by the process that I laid out of there mm-hmm. being issues. They're important for a while, then they go away. Then right. another issue comes and it goes away. And as a community, we have almost become very numb, mm-hmm. we've just learned how to adjust mm-hmm. to the constant. There's always something. And so, you know, and people come in and they're all concerned about it and they do all of these programs and they mm-hmm. throw this money around and then in a few years they're gone. Where's the concern? When you were here doing all the yards, did you get all the lead? Mm-hmm. Did you solve the lead problem? Mm-hmm. I don't know if we did or we didn't. We're still having this conversation.
Right.
But did you, or did your money just run out and mm-hmm. your project went as far as it could? And then like other things, we move on.
Right.
And then something else comes along. And so as the North Omaha Collective, what I realize is that patterned behavior has impacted our community. Oftentimes, you know, you'll go, well, they don't seem to be concerned. Listen, you got to understand, every 5 years, there's a new concern. Mm-hmm. People come, they start programs, they start offering services, and then they just go away. No notice, no explanation, they just go away. Mm-hmm. And you keep wanting me to get excited every time you come up with a new issue. How long will that last before it goes away? Mm-hmm. I think that that part of that mindset contributed to a lot of the difficulty in disadvantaged communities around COVID. Mm-hmm. Is this just another issue that there's going to be some rah-rah about for a while, and then it's just going to go away?
So what do you suggest? Do you think that we should keep these issues in the conversation, or do you think that's more damaging for a community to have all of these issues present at once?
I think that they need to stay in the conversation, mm-hmm. because the reality is that they're not gone. Mm-hmm. None of them are gone. We probably still have a high STD rate. Mm-hmm. We probably still do. Now, it's not talked about. It's not funded. Mm-hmm. The amount of funding that was being spent to get people to come in and get tested. But I would dare say we probably still have a high incident of STDs in our community. The communication brings awareness, and the and that to me is good for a community. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't just bring me a bunch of problems and no solutions. So if lead is still an issue in this community, funds for remediation are gone. What a possibility thinking. Mm-hmm. What next? Mm-hmm. Is there a paint that we can use in all homes under the age of that at least settles, mm-hmm. and makes certain that that lead does not continue to contaminate families that are in certain homes? What's mm-hmm. the possibility thinking? How do we continue to keep this issue relevant, but at the same time offer a community some hope? Mm-hmm. Possibility thinking is hope. Mm-hmm. So what is the hope? Will we forever be talking about lead? Or is there actually something that we can do to resolve this conversation?
Right. So how can we effectively advocate without putting so much stress on people that they feel like it's impossible to solve? How can we get out into the community and still give people hope in relation to this issue?
We move away from the problem mm-hmm. to possibility. What has happened in other communities, in other countries, where this lead issue has been handled? Mm-hmm. What did they do? Have we done that here? What are things that individuals can do in their homes? What should they be looking for? There's nothing wrong to say, hey, listen, if you live in a home that was built after or before, here's the things that you need to be aware of. Here are the things that you need to look at. When you're remodeling and you're painting, here's some things, here's the paint that you need to utilize. Mm-hmm. If you're coming in refurbishing a lot of these homes, here's the things that you need to be aware of. It's information. It's possibility.
Right.
It's not doom and gloom. And so what is that conversation? Is there even an interest in an end result?
Right.
Or is it just a topic of research and conversation? Mm-hmm. Because for academic institutions, conducting research, that's what the community feels oftentimes, is that, oh, here we go with another research project. You're not trying to fix it. You probably got some money somewhere. Mm-hmm. You got a degree that you're trying to complete, mm-hmm. but you're not really concerned about an answer. You just want to study it. Excuse me, let me get some water.
No worries.
But go ahead and keep talking. I can hear you.
Okay. I'll give you just a moment.
Yes. And that's not the fault of the student. That's not the fault of the project. That's not the fault of the institution, the educational institution, the medical institution, but it is something to consider. If this is something that we want to bring into the community, what is it that we want to say? Mm-hmm. How do we want to go about educating? what hope do we want to be able to give? And then how do we engage the community? Not, you know, in a group, how do we engage them in this conversation? Mm-hmm. How do we ask them, what do you want? How would you like for us to approach this? What do you think would be the best way for us to be able to share this information? Because we're not trying to depress. We're not trying to overwhelm. We are trying to educate. Mm-hmm. What is it that you think that we can do? People have, I think oftentimes people negate the impact that the community has in being able to understand and know very clearly what they want and what's in their best interest.
Can I ask you then right now, what do you suggest for my classmates and myself in studying this project? How could we approach it in a better way or use this information to make a difference?
Well, first of all, if you could just share with me, what is the intent? I'm not sure that had I read your information, it would have helped me. So very quickly, just tell me what is your project and what is it that you're hoping to do?
So my group specifically is working on interviewing different people in the community and evaluating the advocacy that's taken place in relation to lead remediation and the Superfund site, what has been the community response. And so then we'll be sharing this with our classmates and our professor. It will be stored on a database for future researchers to be able to see what we've completed and see what progress has been made in relation to this issue.
Okay. And so then your question was,
how do you think we can best use this information to help the community?
If it's going to best be used, it has to have a life and an intent and a purpose that goes beyond the class project and the database. Mm-hmm. Because again, I'm sure that there's a plethora of data that you all have accessed. City data, regional data, national data, it's there. Mm-hmm. And so the interviews now will be a wonderful added piece to that story. Mm-hmm. But what is the intent of telling? What is the purpose for the story? Right. As you said, somebody else will come along and they'll pick this, they'll select this project and they'll literally look at the things that you all did. Mm-hmm. But what is the purpose for it? Mm-hmm. Is the purpose for educational learning? If so, I certainly don't speak against it. But if it is to in some way impact the community that has been affected, then there has to be a community conversation. Mm-hmm. Is this something that is this still an issue in our community? How much of an issue is it? Mm-hmm. How is it impacting the lives of individuals that live in this community? And what is it, community, that you would like to see happen in order to be able to, I don't know, what are we trying to do? Are we trying to remove all of the lead?
Yeah, that would be the ideal, I suppose. It's a very...
Is that doable?
That's a good question. I'm sure it is possible. I can't say that I know how to make it happen.
And so that would then be what that conversation is. Mm-hmm. There is something that lives beneath the land that a good portion of our community lives in. Mm-hmm. And Omaha, Nebraska is only as strong as its weakest community.
Right.
So here's a community that lives every day. We talk about food desert, growing vegetables. Mm-hmm. We have vegetable gardens all over our community, but they're being planted in soil that has lead in it.
Right.
There's people all over this community that have little home gardens. My mother used to have a home garden for years, every year. Mm-hmm. She'd have a garden. And she grew it in the very land that they came in one day and said it's full of lead and dug it up.
Right.
You know how many tomatoes and cucumbers and squash and greens and carrots and onions and potatoes that I ate out of the ground that they grew in? So again, you know, and it's okay if there's no... If it's just for continued research, it's okay. But if it is to affect a change, then the first thing we have to do is share the data, but we also have to have a plan. Are we looking to ask for more money to come back into this community? Is that really realistic? Mm-hmm. We're talking about $300 million coming in, building on land that has lead in it. Mm-hmm. Most of the most of the work that's going to be done in this community will probably be built on land that, if you dig deep enough, has lead in it.
Right.
So it may sound pessimistic. It's a wonderful subject to research, but are we really looking to do anything other than just to research it? Mm-hmm. Because if so, then do we have the infrastructure in place to even begin to honestly address remediation, complete remediation? I don't know.
Yes, all very, very good questions that I wish I just had an answer to.
Yeah, and the reality is that maybe that's a focus.
Right.
Maybe that's the focus of, in the end, here's the research, here's the insight, here's what people had to say. Possibility thinking. Mm-hmm. What would it take to totally remediate this part of our city? Mm-hmm. Because at the same time, remember, as a city, we're reinvesting in this area. Mm-hmm. Gentrification. This area is going to change. Mm-hmm. It's changing every day. As we sit here, it's changing. Mm-hmm. So eventually, if there is this great poison in this valuable land, we're now going to begin to move individuals from other parts of our community back into this community. Mm-hmm. We haven't remediated the lead issue. So is it an issue? Those are just questions to ask.
Right.
So that the next class that comes along, because you're going to find the same thing that I did. Mm-hmm. As time goes on, you'll find fewer and fewer people to really talk about it because we get older and older. Mm-hmm. There's a whole generation of people that don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
That have no idea what you're talking about lead remediation. If they're under the age of 35, maybe even 40, they may not even know what you're talking about.
Right.
So then, as this generation passes off, and that data sits in that database, and the next group of future intellects, current intellects, future leaders, as they open up that vault and they find your study, what are they going to do with it? Mm-hmm. What is it going to tell them?
Right.
Will there be a time that in 2047? 2055, that it raises up again. Mm-hmm. The lead issue in this community becomes an issue again. Mm-hmm. Then we go back to that vault and we take a look at all that research and we take a look at all of that data. So again, maybe somewhere I would challenge you and your team, leave a blueprint. Leave a blueprint that says, where's the possibility thinking here, folk? When do we stop just studying and affirming what we already know? And when do we really begin to talk about real remediation for the entire area?
Right. Our class is focusing on this as an environmental injustice issue that is disproportionately, obviously, affecting certain communities more so than others. Do you think with this increased gentrification that will push the city officials to focus more on remediation? And
if it gets in the way of or creates a problem or raises or rears its ugly head in a way that it gets in the way of whatever plans, future plans that they have for this area and for the redevelopment of this area, yeah, it probably will. And if I ate food for most of my life out of that ground. I'm sure there's still places in this neighborhood where the lead is still in the land.
Yeah.
It's still in the walls. It's still in the houses. People are still living there. We're still moving families in and out. So when contractors go in to rehab a home, do they realize that that home was built before 19 whatever, and that it probably has lead in the walls? Are they even still doing the testing to determine? I don't know. And if they are, what's the precautions that they're taking as they tear these walls down, as they grind this lead back into the soil? Mm-hmm. My family had a daycare just a block and a half up the street. They just tore it down. If there were lead in the walls of that home,
right.
as they tore it down, yeah. some of that lead, they literally leveled off and put back into the soil mm-hmm. again. So right. again, all of these are questions to be asked. Mm-hmm. And I'm hopeful, but it means that hope and possibility has to always be a part of everything that we do. Yes, we can focus on the problem, and we may not have the answer, but how do we become a community that eradicated lead? How do we become, is it impossible? Is it possible that Omaha, Nebraska could become an international example mm-hmm. of a community that completely removed lead out of yeah. an area of its community? Mm-hmm. Is it possible? Probably not if we don't think about it that way.
Right. Have you seen any resistance in the community in relation to remediation or any mistrust that people have?
Oh, I think that initially, I don't know what remediation activities are going on now.
Mm-hmm.
I think that for most people, you know, the coming in and digging up my yard, and you said that you're removing the lead. I don't know how far down you dug. I know you mm-hmm. didn't go more than a foot or two.
Mm-hmm.
I know you didn't dig that far. You dug the surface off. Lead sinks right. into the, you know, so you mm-hmm. pulled, you know, you got the topsoil, as mm-hmm. they would say. And from my perspective, I saw it as being a benefit. I saw a lot of yards, you know, grass shot right up. They had a whole new perspective on how their yard looked.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't really tell you that I've had any experience that there was any resistance.
Okay. What other pivots do you think we can take in this process to really work on the issue of lead?
The first one would be to stay grounded in the research and in the commitment to better understand
mm-hmm.
the issue, the impact, the community that it's having an effect on, the communities that it affects. The pivot is to begin to have the real conversation as to whether or not Omaha is truly invested in complete remediation.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all the difficult conversations right. always start.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole healing-centered engagement. That's where you'll get in a room and some folks might get a little testy,
right.
a little defensive, because that's the question that I ask is there a real commitment? Because the commitment isn't to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there are homeowners in this community. There are many homeowners in this community. A lot of this land is a rental property. Individuals who don't even live in this community or in this city, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
What is the commitment? And who should we be expecting this commitment to come from to actually eradicate lead in our soil? That has to be the first conversation.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be on the table for discussion. Mm-hmm. And if the answer is, we're not going to do anything right now, or we've done all that we're going to do, why aren't you willing to do more? Why isn't there a desire to do more?
Right.
Because our research says that there's still impacts. People do we still do lead testing? Yes. Our test results say that there's still a high incidence of lead in children's bloodstream out of this particular community.
Mm-hmm.
Do we care? Oh, that's a harsh question, but do we?
Mm-hmm.
And will our concern for this community and those children elevate to the point of our creating new ways and opportunities of moving beyond just the lead testing and the treatment to the remediation again?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm perfectly okay with the answer no. I would much rather respect a no than this perception, this false perception,
right.
that we're still concerned about an issue that we're not concerned about, really.
Mm-hmm.
That we're concerned about a community that we're not really concerned about, really.
Mm-hmm.
That's, yeah.
Okay. How would you suggest we go about relationship building, because this community has a different history, a different story, mm-hmm. and has experienced different trauma than the community I grew up mm-hmm. in, obviously. Mm-hmm. So how do we approach building relationships in the best way to have those tough conversations?
And I'm not just saying, and when I answer this, it's not just you as an individual or you mm-hmm. as a group of students, but to begin to have those conversations, to begin, I've spent time, even now, born and raised in Omaha, Nebraska, just spending a little bit of time trying to understand our history, mm-hmm. the rich history. How did African Americans come to this community? What has been what was the impact of the North Freeway? What did our community look like when that freeway wasn't there? Mm-hmm. How did it impact it? How do we now have food deserts? How has redlining impacted our community and Absolutely. Our education? It's about, you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, you know, it's like, oh, that's the Indian culture and their history. That's the Asian culture and their history. We have Sudanese, that's the Sudanese, and that's their culture and history. Mm-hmm. That's Blacks, that's their culture and their history. How do we begin to grow and to really begin? Is that we've got to be willing to recognize it's our history. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you live in the same city that I do. You live in the same community that I do. And that whether I like it or not, we're only as strong as our weakest link.
Right.
We're only as strong as a community as our weakest link. So, yes, we want to be upwardly mobile and we want to grow and we want to bring new technology and we want to bring new talent into our community. Ah, but then you have your youth violence is at this level and this issue is at that level. And well, you know what? I can go someplace else. So the reality is that we stunt our own growth. We only grow so far. We only grow so high. We can only build so many homes west of 72nd Street. We're 3 miles short of connecting Lincoln and Omaha completely. We can continue to run. We can continue to move. We can continue to move away from the problem, move away from the issue. But the issue hasn't changed. It's still here. Mm-hmm. It still impacts every aspect of our community life. And so we have to study the history. What was the history of North Omaha? Mm-hmm. Where did the... Now, I'm going to now have to go do my research. Where did the lead in this community come from? What were the industries that were here? What did they do when they left that put all this lead in our community? Mm-hmm. Why did they do that? What was their perception about this community when right. they just left and basically left their garbage behind?
Absolutely.
How many other industries are still outliers in this community that may be polluting our environment and our mm-hmm. community? Why do we think that it's okay to leave an area of our city uncared for on any level? We have to begin to have those conversations, mm-hmm. and they're hard conversations to have. They're hard conversations to have. We each have to then do that mirror work. Mm-hmm. Do I even want to have this conversation? Huh? I don't want to come across as the Black lady who blames the white lady. I don't want to be the white lady who gets blamed by the Black lady. I don't want to be lumped in the group of people who did wrong. Well, I'm tired of being in the group that was done wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, and so how do we begin to do the heart work and the head work that will allow us to come and sit in a room and say, man, this is a part of racism.
Right.
And poverty. Mm-hmm. And all the social toxins that our babies exhibit. How do we know? We talk about the low test scores in our schools. Do we know that they could not in some way be related to the lead that our children are ingesting? And how many tax dollars are being spent to provide remedial educational opportunities mm-hmm. and testing and evaluation of kids that could be impacted by the food that they're eating mm-hmm. and by the community and the playgrounds that they're playing on and the dirt that you're dusting up when you come and fix our streets. and you dig up our streets and there's dust flying all over forever. Mm-hmm. And of course it takes you, let's see, as you go up Lake Street, they've been working on that mm-hmm. most of the summer. There's no place west of 108th Street, mm-hmm. a major thoroughfare to the intersect state, that it would take that long to fix. That dirt is just flying all over everywhere
right.
for month in and month out and mm-hmm. month in and month out. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that happen. And so again, we have to be willing to do the hard work and the inside work so that we can then do the research. Mm-hmm. Because the research part of it is North Omaha's history and understanding it and appreciating it. South Omaha's history, what are our histories?
Right.
To then be able to have those conversations about what is it that we want to do. Mm-hmm. Or, because we're very much a culture now of what rules is what is. I'm really worried about this world when I'm gone. My kids will figure it out. Mm-hmm. I'm just worried about this world while I'm here. Are we really concerned about the generational impact this is going to have? Or are we just focused on these next 10 or 20 or 30 or 50 or 60 years that I have? Mm-hmm. We're not a culture as the United States. Mm-hmm. We're not a culture that concerns itself with its with the elderly, mm-hmm. with the aged.
Right.
We're one of the few cultures that actually don't honor age
yeah.
and experience and wisdom. So is it really a concern?
That's very true.
Great questions to ask. Mm-hmm.
Well, those are all of the questions that I have for you. Is there mm-hmm. anything else that you would like to add? Anything
well, first of else? All, I wish you the very best. I would love
Thank
it.
You.
If you say, what can we do? Do an article. Mm-hmm. Huh? Just remind people.
Yeah.
It's still here.
Yeah.
Here's the result of the study. It's not something that's gone away. Mm-hmm. It's still here. We have a treasure trove of information mm-hmm. of when the remediation started, of why it started, of how many homes that it, of what areas, I'd love to know what is the area that was impacted from this street to this, from here to here? How much of that was cleaned up? Mm-hmm. How much of it remains uncleaned? Do the people who live in those areas or own those properties, are they aware of that? Mm-hmm. It's not gone.
Right.
Every now and then you hear somebody say, still want to be careful, right?
Yeah.
Quiet as it's kept. Mm-hmm. There's still people in hospitals dying of COVID.
That's
Still dying of COVID. Mm-hmm. Not only good, but still happening. And so that's kind of how we've gotten about this whole subject of lead. Again, you're bringing $300+ million into this community. Do you really think anybody wants to talk about the lead under the ground that they're getting ready to build on? Probably not.
Probably not.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But mirror work. Do I just take my piece of this and stick it in the database? Or do I actually ask, is it possible? 3 people might read it. That we at least put together an overview of our report that says, here's where it is and here's what we found. Mm-hmm. And we would love to be a community that could say one day in our future that there is no lead. In an area that once was, there is no more. Mm-hmm. Is that going to change the world? Is the city of Omaha going to turn upside down? No, but you know what you can say? That was my part. Mm-hmm. That was my part. That was my part.
Yeah.
That was me looking inside and going, at least when I had the chance to say something, I did. Mm-hmm. And then the person that comes behind you, that opens up the box that you all leave and uses your research to build on theirs. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to get out of this without realizing there's some questions you need to ask yourself. Graduate students of 2029, when you read and you go back and you research and you do go through the archives, mm-hmm. I'm gonna leave something for you to think about.
Yeah.
In 2024, after X amount of years, these questions were still on the table. Before you start your project, ask yourself, have the questions been answered?
Mm-hmm.
You left a path.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time.
You're welcome. This and thank you really for wonderful. Bringing this issue to me, because yeah. I'm actually going to spend some time. If it's possible, I would love to be able to just get an overview
Absolutely.
Of the report that you all, because mm-hmm. this will become a part of when I talk about, because a part of it is also getting people to understand the rich history of North Omaha.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be able to talk about this lead project
mm-hmm.
because it is so much what makes this process so important, that holistic healing and well-being
mm-hmm.
is understanding where we've been.
Right.
Understanding what's going on in our community and not being afraid to address it.
Mm-hmm. I will absolutely send you everything that we finish with.
Terrific. Thank yeah. you for coming. I needed to settle down. And you've given me something to think about, and I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for making time for me.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
All righty.
All right.
So how many more?